Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, pairing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A Gresham man is charged with impersonating a police officer and trying to arrest somebody. Sarah Palin schools us all about American history. And a new poll finds Americans are angry about everything.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Monday, June 6th, 2011. A Gresham man is charged with pretending to be a police officer in an attempt to arrest another man. Gresham police said they arrested Darren Goff early Sunday morning. Goff and the victim got into some sort of confrontation at a hookah lounge near Southeast 183rd and Southeast Stark Street about 1:30 in the morning. Officer said the unidentified victim tried to separate himself from the situation and started driving home. Goff, police said, followed the man for several blocks. Investigators described Goff's driving as a road rage incident. The chase ended at the intersection of Southeast 181st and Stevens Street. A man who lives at that intersection says he and his roommate were awakened by the tires screeching. He looked out the window, saw Goff get out of his van, and Goff started barking orders at the man he had been chasing. He seemed really concerned about the victim's hands, the man said. I'm assuming he was...
His hams?
Hands.
I see.
I assume he was being like a police officer and telling him he should keep the hands where he could see them. This onlooker said he struck a pose like he was holding a gun, and the victim was a felon that was evading him. The man said that Goff made the victim get out of his vehicle. Goff frisked the man, took his wallet, and threatened to tase him if he did not comply. He kept repeating, "Show me your hands, keep your hands where I can see them," just like, you see on TV. Police said Goff then used a police scanner and pretended to call for cover. Neighbors heard the police sirens echoing in the distance, but the man who was watching his roommate called 911 after hearing Goff say he would use a taser. Gresham police arrived, arrested him. His charges include second-degree kidnapping, second-degree robbery, criminal impersonation, second-degree disorderly conduct, menacing, and coercion.
Excellent.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, June 6th, 2011. Coming up later on this hour, your Science on the March, also entertainment news. And next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at RickEmersonShow.com. Today we'll be joined by Mr. Aaron Duran with The Week in Geek. Also, Snuff Watch, Religious Nutcase Watch, and we'll have a little bit of, not even really breaking news, but sort of the ongoing suck from E3, apparently. And that is all true. That is next hour at RickEmersonShow.com. Don't forget, if you want to get this program later on the day via iTunes or from your iCloud, you can do that if you like. It's also available here at Cascadia.fm as a direct MP3 download or at LegionOfNews.com. And lastly, but certainly not leastly, you can get it on your mobile device. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile.cascadia.fm so that it might grace your life wherever you go on the Terra.
A man using a torch to burn weeds in his yard Sunday afternoon set fire to bushes that scorched the side of his neighbor's home in Salem. Police say neighbors used a garden hose until firefighters arrived. Neighbors also evacuated a 92-year-old resident. Firefighters removed siding from the home to make sure the fire had not spread into the wall. Damage is estimated at $15,000. The 57-year-old man who was killing weeds with fire was cited for reckless burning.
Well, you have to kill everything with fire. Fire is really the only surefire method to kill whatever needs killing.
Yeah.
I mean, everything else is basically just a good scolding compared to fire.
Good news, everyone. Rick Santorum is running for president. After weeks of unofficial campaigning, the social conservative made it official on Monday, telling ABC's Good Morning America that we're going to be in this race and we're in it to win. But Santorum will have to have his work cut out for him. He's yet to break into the top tier of a field of Republican contenders led by Mitt Romney, and in recent polls has struggled to garner more than 2% of the vote.
Also, he looks creepily like Pete Campbell on Mad Men.
And also, Dan Savage made up an icky use for his name.
Yeah, I've decided I'm going to quit making that observation. Anytime it's the first Google result, it's no longer a thing that nobody knows. So I've decided that from now on, that's just going to be, it's like when Sarah and Greg had this comedian in last week, and he's a white guy, but his name is Robert Marley, Bob Marley. And I was actually really proud of them. They went the entire show and nobody made the obligatory, so you're white and your name is Bob Marley. So I've decided I'm going to do the thing with the same term.
Okay.
I'm skipping it.
We will never mention it again.
No, you can. That's just, that's the sort of thing that's beneath me.
His campaign will formally kick off with a speech in Somerset, Pennsylvania, near where his Italian grandfather settled after he moved to the United States. A Santorum advisor told Politico that his point will be that his grandfather came here even though he had a pretty secure life in Italy, not that he was looking for more security, more employment, or entitlements, but that he was looking for freedom and the chance to achieve all that he could achieve with freedom. The senator is going to make the point that much of what was set up by our founding fathers is being dismantled piece by piece by this president. It'll be 100% focused on Barack Obama. Santorum blasted Democrats, in fact, in his announcement today.
They don't want to give you opportunity. They don't believe in you. They believe in themselves, the smart people, the planners, the folks in Washington who can make decisions better than you can.
They want to kill you with fire.
Santorum says he wants to take on big government.
We are facing a time when we have a group of people led by President Obama who believes that America's greatness is in government, not its people.
Santorum says public debt is killing the economy.
So Santorum 3.
Yeah. Who are you, Mr. President, to say that you and your administration should take 40 cents out of every dollar and borrow it from future generations to prop you up?
This guy sounds really irritated about everything. It's giving me a headache.
I really like it, his first thing, though, where he said that this government is concerned with smart people. You know, not people like you.
Yeah, this is...
He's basically just telling his supporters that they're idiots.
Guys, this is just too much for a Monday.
I just
don't need it.
We'll back off on that. Police have released the identities of a man who was killed and two people who were injured in three Portland shootings Saturday morning. At 12:55 a.m. Saturday, officers responded to the report of a shooting outside the 82nd Avenue Bar and Grill at Southeast 82nd and Raymond Street. Grace Ann Essie, 32, was shot in the leg several times. The gang enforcement team was investigating. At 2:08 a.m., police were called to North Fessenden and Geneva, where Gabino Basara Acosta, 20, of North Portland, was shot in the face and neck. His wounds were also not life-threatening. The shooting suspect was described as a light-skinned black male teen who was seen running through the park. At 3:50 a.m., police responded to more gunshots at Northeast 13th Avenue and Rosa Parks, where they found 40-year-old Marcus D'Angelo Miller of Northeast Portland lying in the street, and he was dead. A witness described the possible suspect as the man who ran from the scene wearing tan clothing. Late Sunday evening, the family of Yashani Vaughn sent out an email to Portland media saying that Miller's death has added to the anguish of Vaughn's murder. Miller was Yashani's brother's father.
To the casual observer, or perhaps the recent immigrant, these stories would make it sound as though it was just incredibly dangerous to be near Rosa Parks herself. Like, if you were standing near Rosa Parks, the odds are like 1 in 3 somebody would just shoot you in the face at some point.
There's some kind of, like, complicated thing, like you would see on The Wire here going on, though, that Yashani Vaughn was the teenage girl whose boyfriend has been charged with her murder, that she was found in his bed. And this guy is her, who the man who was killed on Saturday is her uncle.
Well, so is that uncle or is that uncle?
Well,
so like how mommy has many, many friends that come and stay the night.
I don't know, but some, you know, it seems like there's some kind of complicated thing going on there that we are not privy to.
And by complicated, you mean humpy?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't thinking humpy at all.
I always assume that whenever you're talking about uncles and complications, you mean humping.
No, I'm just thinking more because I've been watching too many episodes of The Killing. I guess I've just been obsessed with The Killing. So now I think, like, you know, this girl is killed and the boyfriend is charged and now her uncle's been shot to death. So I'm thinking somebody decided to take real justice into their own hands.
Or that somebody was on the take from Big Tony.
Yes.
And, you know, didn't want somebody else to squeal to pinch it to the man and get you cheesed. Or something, or whatever that is.
Pinch it to the man and get you cheese?
Whatever it is they say.
Is that a thing?
It's a thing. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It's Monday. It is June 6th, 2011. Coming up later in this hour, entertainment news and science on the march. And then next hour, we'll also have, we'll have a snuff watch, a religious nutcase watch next hour at RickEmersonShow.com. Also, I mean, the whole show could probably be a geek watch because just, so our pal Seamus has been doing the great, he's just been doing... On the one hand, this is I guess, sort of great. On the other hand, I don't know, it's sad, I think, more for him than for anybody else. He's just been doing this live blogging of E3, but, like, just to me. Like, all morning, just to me via Skype, even though my Skype thing has all morning. In fact, even now, as we speak, my Skype thing actually says that I am away. It says that I am not around. It says, hold on, my Skype status actually now is away. Doesn't say that I'm near, doesn't say that I'm reading anything that's being written, doesn't say that at any point in the future I will necessarily come back and maximize my Skype window and see what's there. And yet I swear to God, for like the last, I was woken up this morning by the sound of my phone beeping because Seamus was just sitting there in one of his colossal $800 beanbag chairs with, I swear to God, two pizzas that he ordered specifically for this event, live blogging the E3 event just to me. Not knowing that I was necessarily even seeing it or reading it or aware of it in any way.
Well, you should feel special.
I do, but I also feel kind of sad for him that his life is so small that I am the person he chooses to do this to.
He emailed me at 4 o'clock in the morning to tell me that I probably wouldn't believe it, but Friday's show, you and Jim Willick had two long discussions that didn't include penises or boobs.
No, I didn't really think it was possible, but I think that that show might be the exception that proves the penis boob rule.
Mm. Well, a new Newsweek / Daily Beast poll finds that Americans are angry about pretty much everything, from President Obama to congressional Republicans to even God, who only had a 33% approval rating.
How can you be angry about God?
They just are.
Americans are stupid. They should be angry about that, except they're probably not bright enough.
Well, unemployment is at 9.1%. Gas and grocery prices are skyrocketing. The housing market is in the dumps. People are not happy. 3/4 of Americans polled think the country is on the wrong track. 81% say the job market is not where it needs to be. Half of the respondents don't think Obama has a plan to balance the budget. And 58% think Republicans aren't doing their part to balance the budget either. The poll finds that Americans are being affected by their anger in other parts of their life as well. 56% say they are so angry they can't sleep. And 13% say the anxiety has affected their sex life.
Well, seriously, why should the rest of America be any different from me?
26% of married respondents claim the country's economic problems have affected their marriage, with more than half of those people saying it has made their marriage worse.
By the way, imagine how bad it must suck to live anywhere that's not America at this point. I mean, really, we do kind of live in the most happening, you know, the happening place of all, you know, on this globe. So imagine, like, if, I don't know, you're just living in a straw hut somewhere. I mean, or you're just, where you do live? I live in a ditch in the on the outskirts of Dublin. I mean, really, I mean, like, how bad must your life be then? It's amazing that anybody else anywhere in the world can even face the day, that they can even make it out of bed, honestly. And then they come here, you know, thinking it's, you know, it's just going to be a land of golden shining opportunity. And like half the people are so pissed off they can't get an erection. I mean, really. This whole place just blows.
That should be our new national motto, by the way.
Half our country can't get an erection.
So angry we can't get an erection.
Yeah.
Antiques Roadshow did a show at Eugene, Oregon on Saturday. And someone brought in a Norman Rockwell painting that was deemed to be worth an estimated $500,000, which ties it to be the second most valuable item ever appraised in the 15-year history of the program. The day-long taping of the show involved about 6,000 local ticket holders who brought their collectibles to the Lane Events Center in Eugene. The artwork by Norman Rockwell was a 1919 oil-on-canvas painting titled The Little Model that was used on a cover of Collier's magazine. The painting depicts a girl with a dog posing in front of a fashion poster. Appraiser Nan Chisholm told the owner that the painting was told by the owner that the painting had been in the family for at least 90 years after Norman Rockwell gave it to his great-grandmother. A collection of Chinese jade items appraised last year holds the show's highest value at $710,000 to over $1 million. But the roadshow has been to Portland twice. This is the program's first visit to Eugene.
So is this stuff that just people like have like in a steamer trunk in their basement or something? And
yeah,
they just, you know, this is something my uncle Phil gave me. And then they just, it's on PBS, right?
Yeah.
And it's like there's some guy who brings like a katana or something in, or just, and
yeah,
then they tell you what they think it's worth and then they try to sell it.
Or a trunk or a little statue. They don't really try to sell it. People just want stuff appraised. They just want to know how much stuff is worth.
All right. Okay. So I'm thinking of, I'm confusing it with that auction show on Discovery,
yeah,
or whatever.
No, that's a different
thing. Where there's just that strange androgynous, that like butch-looking chick and the two guys.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
this
and like
is
there
not
was
that.
A guy who came in and he had like a hot air balloon and he wanted to auction his hot air balloon. And yeah, I've seen that show.
By the way, Seamus wants to know that he quote, live blogged it directly to me because everybody else he knows is actually following it. And he knew that I might care, but not enough to actually go find out on my own. So he just, christened himself. This is really why I love my people here. He christened himself just a free news service for me. It was like back in the ye olden days of the net when you could just get one of those like weird like news tickers that just floated on your desktop, because that's the thing we all thought we wanted. It would just be like some Java applet that floated down at the bottom by like your Microsoft Start button and just gave you like Times Square style scrolling headlines.
He's sort of like the neighbor who comes over and brings you soup, because the things that maybe you might need and enjoy some soup, except what he's bringing you is tasty, tasty geek information.
It's not even so much that he's the neighbor who brings me soup. He's like the neighbor that comes over and tells you that the Lipinski girl is dating a Negro boy. I don't know where she met him. Except he's not talking about that so much as he's talking about Microsoft Connect.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop. Here's Don Taylor at the news desk.
Monster rodents as big as cats are believed to have killed two babies in South Africa's squalid townships. The giant rats grow up to 3 feet long, including their tails, and have front teeth over an inch long. And by the way, I have sent you a photo.
Excellent.
3-year-old Lenathi Dwada was asleep when was killed while she slept in her parents' shack in a slum outside Cape Town this week.
Her life was going really, really well to begin with. Things were already really on the upswing there.
Another baby girl died in a similar rat attack on the same day, this time in the Soweto township near Johannesburg. Apparently, police have revealed the second baby girl died in Soweto township when she was attacked by rats while her teenage mother was out with friends. Police officer Bangangi Mulango said, "We were called to the scene of the death of an infant due to a rat attack on Monday morning around 9 a.m. The mother of the child was arrested on charges of culpable homicide and negligence."
Negligence? They're living in a hut. They're living in a squalid hut on the outskirts of town by what sounds to be like an open landfill. What are you supposed to do?
Well, the mom did go out with her friends and leave the baby alone in the squalid hut where she could be eaten by rats.
Sounds like if you're being attacked by 3-foot rats, the mom's impact is going to be negligible anyway.
Last month, a 77-year-old grandmother died after giant rats chewed off the right side of her face. The killer rodents are believed to be African giant pouched rats, a species distantly related to European rats, but native to sub-Saharan Africa. They're the biggest in the world. They are nocturnal. They're omnivorous, eating both plants and animals, and can produce up to 50 young a year.
By the way, I'm looking at the photograph of this, and you can see this at rickemerson.com/pictures, visual aids for June 6th. That is rickemerson.com/pictures, visual aids for June 6th. Seriously, you get more than one of these in the house, even with one of these. I mean, there's nothing. I don't care how much fire you have. There's no keeping this away from you, the baby, can of beans in the cupboard. Doesn't matter. I'd say whatever the rat...
It's taken whatever it wants.
Yeah, this is like a let the Wookiee win kind of a situation. So I wouldn't, you know... Really, the only wherewithal the mother has is probably just to get in the way of this and the kid. Here's how you can protect your kids from rats like this if you live, you know... I don't know, like in a slum, you know, near like a garbage dump. Maybe wear a rubber, huh? That's protecting your kids from rats like way, way, way in advance. But still, you know, it is prophylactic on multiple levels. Let's see. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program and so forth. This is Don Taylor.
President Barack Obama made a stop at a Chrysler plant in Toledo, Ohio on Friday to tout the recovery of the nation's big three automakers. Mr. Obama says the government bailout loan that was given to Chrysler has been repaid already, well ahead of schedule.
And today I'm proud to announce the government has been completely repaid for the investments we made under my watch by Chrysler because of the outstanding work that you guys did. Because of you.
You know, I remember like in 1983, 1984, the last time that Chrysler repaid ahead of schedule a huge, huge loan from the government that was considered, you know, like one of the great boons to American business because it was going to make sure that we didn't have to, you know, give them another huge, huge loan that they could then repay ahead of schedule or not like 20 years later. It's good to see we're learning our lessons.
Oh, yes. Mr. Obama explained what he saw during his visit.
Chrysler 2.
I just took... A short tour of the plant and watch some of you putting the finishing touches on the Wrangler. Now, as somebody reminded, I need to call it the iconic Wrangler.
They have a car back there with a waffle iron in it. It's amazing. Is there nothing this country can't do?
On the Wrangler. I don't know why that tickles me so much, but just the way he said... Finishing touches to the Wrangler.
Let's hear it one more time.
I just took a short tour of the plant and watched some of you putting the finishing touches on the Wrangler.
Well, because it sounds like a wrestling move or perhaps the wrestler himself.
A little bit, yes.
It really does sound... It sounds like you're doing a figure four leg lock or like a suplex or a camel clutch or something.
Let's do some science news.
Here's your science. That's what I'm saying. See, Obama sounds like he's announcing a wrestler. That's right. See, there you go. That's what I'm saying. Here's your science on the march, brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more about them at squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. That is 503-252-1609. You can also find them at facebook.com/squireselectric, where there is a gallery of satisfied customers and the problems that they have presented to Squires Electric. Now, there's no giant rats. So far, we do have spiders. We have a creepy melted doll's head. We have, you know, lots of fire. We have wind just knocking things over and then blowing up those transformer boxes. And then I swear to Christ, it's just a huge snake wrapped around the, you know, that little power box thing that's like outside your house. So, I mean, really... It's not like a rat would be something they couldn't deal with. I mean, that's just par for the course at this point, I would imagine. So you can contact them at facebook.com/SquiresElectric. While you're there, click the like button, if you would, please. They help to make this program, Legion of News, possible, as well as the Rick Emerson radio program. They are proud sponsors of the Emerson News Network and all its various varieties and iterations and forms. You can contact them at squireselectric.com. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. Here is Don Taylor with your Science on the March.
I'll bet if Joe Squires came across a 3-foot rat, he would just wrestle it.
Yeah, and then also he's got, you know, he's got young strapping lads with him for that.
He would say, Ben, go wrestle that rat, he would say. Anyway. A Japanese astronaut said today that he plans to harvest cucumbers on board the International Space Station. Satoshi Furukawa is set to blast off early Wednesday for a half-year stint in orbit, along with Russian cosmonaut Sergei Volkov and NASA astronaut Michael Fossum. Speaking about experiments scheduled for the next few months, Furukawa said he would be growing cucumbers as part of an ongoing study on how future space explorers will be able to harvest their own food. Furukawa, who is a doctor, said, "We wish we were able to eat the cucumbers, but we have not been allowed." Millions of concerned consumers across Europe have been spurning cucumbers in the wake of an E. coli outbreak blamed on contaminated vegetables. They killed 22 and sickened more than 2,200 people. Mindful of their own health ahead of their mission, astronauts at the Russia-leased Baikonur launch pad in Kazakhstan remained in strict isolation in the days ahead of any launch to avoid exposure to infection. Furukawa, Fossum, and Volkov sat behind a plate of protective glass as they talked about the highlights of their upcoming mission. Fossum said he's ready for the heavy workload that will come with being in orbit in a U.S. shuttle. He said there's always an adaptation time when we get there, but we're going to hit the ground running. We have to. Fossum said while the shuttles had completed the purpose of helping to assemble the space station, we're going to miss the shuttle's capabilities because they are awesome and unmatched.
Are cucumbers related to zucchini?
No.
Two separate things altogether?
Actually, I have no idea. They might be. I don't know. Well, no, because zucchini are squash.
Well, now I don't believe you.
Zucchini are squash, and cucumbers aren't squash.
Because you just, like, right out of that, you were like, no. And then you just said, I have no idea.
No, but then I
Then followed by, no.
But then I realized zucchini are squash, and cucumbers are not squash. So, therefore, they are not related.
What are cucumbers?
That I don't know.
Well, then how do you know they're not squash?
I just know they're not squash. That I do
know. They came to you in a dream?
Yes.
The Archangel Gabriel told you?
I know without a shadow of a doubt that they are not squash.
I believe they are gourds.
Cucumbers?
Yeah. They could be a gourd-type product. Hmm. I don't really know. But it just seems to me that if we have all of this... I was just thinking about zucchini because we were talking about cucumber. And, you know, zucchini are like kudzu. They're just one of those things that just grow all out of control. And by the end of every summer, it's like everybody in the block has got just these zucchini. They're the size of canoes that you can't get rid of.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like... And people are just... You know, and you're that jackass bringing them to work and leaving them in the kitchen in a huge paper bag. Zucchini, take some. And everybody's like, God, more goddamn zucchini. Because everybody's just got more, it's like, coming out their ears.
And it's fun to grow them really huge, but they get really kind of... You know, mealy and sort of woody
and like,
when they get really huge.
How much zucchini can you possibly eat before you just don't want to see any more of it? But I'm just thinking, we had all the zucchini here, and again, all the kudzu, and then these places in the world where they just, you know, they've got no food, can't get any food to save their life. So it seems like we ought to just create some sort of hybrid strain, some sort of half zucchini, half, you know, half zucchini, half, you know, like soybean or something. And then just, we ought to create, here's what we need. We just need to create some edible, high in protein weed. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And then we just spray the planet with it. Because then
yeah.
Everybody, bam, food for days.
Hemp is probably like that, although I don't know. Can you eat hemp?
I don't know. If you
The pro-hemp people
ask
will
the
make
average,
you believe that everything
Yeah,
can
hemp
be done
idiot,
with
it'll like, you know, it can bring your relatives back from the dead.
Yeah, it's magical. Anyway, the Russian guy, Volkov, he said that they'll be planting tomatoes. And he said that he hoped that the astronauts might be granted permission to prepare a salad. Because, you know, he's funny. But then, showing that the Russians are just like you and I, he also said, to be honest, what I would really like is fried potatoes.
Okay. Well, he is Russian.
Yeah, so there you go. Honeybee colonies in the United States reduced in number by 30% over the 2010-2011 winter, according to a recently released annual survey conducted by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Apiary Inspectors of America. The loss was actually lower than for the previous winter, which saw a 34% drop in honeybee populations. Jeff Pettis, an entomologist with the USDA who helped lead the project, told Discovery that the loss rates are putting beekeepers out of business. But he added, at least it's not getting worse, so in that sense, it's decent, but not good news.
I'm unclear. What is the status of whatever?
We're still losing honeybees. Our honeybee population is still dropping every winter.
When on Friday, Big Jim Willig was here on Friday in your stead, and I think he had a story similar to this. So it may have been the same story, but I think he never making the observation that perhaps things would go better for bees if we weren't stealing their food all the time.
Well, yeah, and it's also about habitat more than anything else. It's like they don't have any place to, you know, collect their pollen and to build their hives and to live. So,
well, they just, but see, that doesn't make any sense because they can just build that. They can build that stuff like anywhere.
Well, they can't.
I mean, they're like
they
wasps. They can just put it in a car if they want.
Yeah, but they can't build plants to get things.
I don't think there's a shortage of plants.
There kind of are. That's what loss of habitat kind of means.
Wait, so there's not a so there really is not only a shortage of bees, there's a shortage of plants.
Well,
why is there no news about that?
Well, we do have news stories about that all the time.
Now, if you were to go up and ask people, like, what are we missing? Everybody goes, we're missing bees. Why isn't it a big story that we're missing plants? Did that happen first? Or did we lose the bees first, and that's why we have a shortage of plants?
Well, I think first we started destroying their habitat, then we started losing the bees, then we had less plants because they couldn't pollinate stuff as much.
By destroying their habitat, what does that mean?
That means paving over things and poisoning stuff.
Are we just poisoning flowers willy-nilly?
Well, we're poisoning groundwater, and we're poisoning lakes and streams, and we're poisoning things that feed the plants.
All right. Here's the thing. I'm going to stipulate right now that I'm assuming that all of that is probably made up, but I don't really care enough to investigate today. Hey, here's something we care about, though. So we have an answer to the cucumber thing, sort of. According to Wikipedia, so me, Rick Emerson, correct about this, cucumber, part of the gourd family.
Hey.
By the way, the gourd family includes squash.
Oh, what do you know?
Bam!
So
there you go.
So, in fact, the cucumber is actually superior to the zucchini because it's higher up in the food chain.
That's right. So those for those who are doing the tallying, it's all Rick right there on that answer. That's
very nice.
All accrues to this side of the table. My tote board continues to rise. Here's Don Taylor.
Patients with melanoma, the deadliest form of skin cancer, now have two new treatment options that prolong their survival. Dr. George Sledge of the American Society of Clinical Oncologists explains how they work.
This is cancer.
One drug, in essence, gooses the immune system to help fight the cancer. The other drug is a drug that interferes with a critical growth pathway for the cancer.
Okay.
Kind of sad that we both made the woo noise when we heard that. That's
we're idiots. It's almost like we're not actually that funny.
Sledge says these two drugs are the first in decades that have significantly changed the course of the disease.
Both drugs induce remissions, in some cases prolong remissions. Both drugs improve survival for patients with advanced melanoma.
Well, okay, there we go. That wasn't very cheery. There's your science on the march.
Oh, yes. Are we done now? Okay.
I don't know. Are we continuing?
Well, I had more, but we can
no,
move on.
No, we can roll on. I had to start the bed again because the guy was speaking so quietly that it was just...
Oh, all right. Here we go.
Would have just been a bunch of mumbling in the background.
The touchscreen steering wheel prototype has been designed by designers in Germany, the University of Stuttgart. Buttons embedded in steering wheels only control a fraction of a car's functionality currently, but now researchers have a wheel prototype that puts everything within reach, and you wouldn't need to glance down and look at it. You would never have to take your eyes off the road. If you have gestures on the steering wheel, you spend more time looking at the street, said Albrecht Schmidt, who's a computer science professor who specializes in human-computer interaction. The team came up with the idea for a multi-touch steering wheel interface while thinking about driving and mobile technology. Their prototype is made from an 11-millimeter thick clear acrylic ringed in infrared LEDs. An infrared camera attached to the bottom picks up the reflections made when the surface is touched. A driver can control a radio or navigate a map with simple movements along the surface. These gestures can be made with the thumbs while still gripping the wheel and looking at the road. So it's sort of like your smartphone, only it's your steering wheel. We use a standard tracking framework, much like Microsoft Surface and those interactive tables, Schmidt said. Basically, he said somebody in the 30s decided it's good to have the instruments behind the steering wheel. It may be time now, having entered the computing age, where we have to rethink if it's clever to hide one display underneath the controls. He said the wheel could be combined with automotive head-up display technology that projects info directly onto the windshield. He added the wheel could also work with a sensor system that detects traffic and encourages drivers to focus on steering.
By the way, yet another thing they've had in Japan for like 40 years. In Japan, they've your speed, all of your critical data is already on the windshield in front of you. They just project it upward, and then it's opaque. Here's the thing they can invent. Really, if they want to impress me, what they can do, and it's not like this is outside the realm of possibility. They've got all the stuff to do this now. They just need to create something that calculates exactly how tall you are, where you're sitting in the seat, and then locates the positioning of your eyes, and then just dims exactly the part of the windshield where the sun is blinding you. That's it. I mean, they could do that right now. I'll guarantee you they could do that now with the stuff they've already got. Think of how many accidents probably every year are caused by people who either can't find their sunglasses, sunglasses are doing an inefficient job, the little... I mean, you want to talk about Stone Age technology, the little stupid visor thing that we're supposed to flip down from the ceiling, the sole purpose of which is to block out the sun, but which does so literally by just taking huge chunks of the windshield and making them, like, non-seeable by you. It just seems like they ought to be able to dim exactly the pinpoint section of the windshield through which the sun is coming. That's a thing that I would pay extra for. Everything else is just sort of, you know, like, everything else is just like you can turn up your John Mayer records without having to strain your neck.
I guess, but I, you know, when I, for the year and a half that I was driving that Toyota Highlander, I have to say that along with sort of things like the seat warmers and stuff, which were really luxurious, I did find that it actually seemed like a really good safety feature to have the radio controls on the steering wheel, that I could change the channel, and I could also turn the volume up and down with my thumb without having to actually, you know, let go of the steering wheel and reach over and screw around with the radio.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't that the thing that's been around for a long time?
I guess, but I mean, in your lower level cars, they
don't. Oh, I see. That's
them.
What it is. The commoners, we will finally.
The commoner. I don't. So, my car is like 40 years old, so.
So they're finally going to be designing a steering wheel like an Xbox controller. That's what this is.
Well, kind of, yeah. And it's like the picture that was on the piece that I found online that I was looking at. They had this big round steering wheel, and it also had like a map on the steering wheel. So you could also do a thing with like your GPS and your mapping system, where if you're using your GPS, it would like just come up as a smart screen thing, like directly on your steering wheel. And yes, and maybe even project that up onto the windshield.
That'd be better than that stupid thing they have with GPS systems now where it's like you can't be using it while the car is in motion. Like, you actually have to come to a complete stop for the GPS to actually work, which, by the way, is like, that's the reason you don't ever want to get, like, an in-dash GPS. You always want to buy, if you're going to buy one of those things, if you're not going to have it on your phone, buy an external GPS, because otherwise you have to, like, pull over to the side of the road every time you need to try to figure out, you know, like, where a left turn or something is supposed to be. So this is not unlike that app they have for the phone, which I see an astonishing number of people using, by the way. It's just for people who cannot quit texting or whatever long enough to, like, walk somewhere. And so it's the app that actually makes the screen, by using the camera in the back, by dint of the camera, it makes the screen de facto invisible so that you can actually be typing and texting while seeing what's ahead of you so that you don't walk into a telephone pole while you're texting, which is like one of the biggest selling apps in the iPhone store.
That's sad.
Yes, it really is. Plus, it denies all of us the delicious thrill of seeing somebody fall into an open sewer while they're walking along and texting somebody.
Yeah.
All right, there's your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric, 503-252-1609 or squireselectric.com. You can also find them online at facebook.com/Squires Electric. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. They are Squires Electric.
An anti-gay Christian group is spending $7,000 to fly planes over Orlando, Florida, dragging giant banners that read, "Warning, Gay Day at Disney." The campaign is part of the group's boycott and protest of the annual event. Florida Family Association claims thousands of people enter the park each year during Gay Day, only to turn around and leave when they realize gay people and same-sex couples are present. Gay people and same-sex couples. Yeah. The group says it wants Disney to reschedule Gay Day at night after the park closes. The Florida Family Association says patrons of the event wear T-shirts that promote homosexuality and sometimes dress in drag. The group also charges that gay couples publicly kiss, hug, and grope each other. Behavior the group's leaders believe will turn children gay if they witness it.
I've got a great idea for a reality show. And here's the thing. This is a thing, like all of my best ideas, this is a thing that functions on several levels simultaneously and would entertain different groups of... This is more of Rick Emerson's patented Rorschach entertainment that entertains all different kinds of people, all different kind of ways, simultaneously. Doesn't even seem possible, and yet it is. So this would require a little bit of sacrifice on the part of the Christian right. But of course, as we know, Jesus has no problem sacrificing members of his flock, and they have no problem sacrificing other people to the greater cause. So you should consider it a net win. Here's what the Christian right should do: they should volunteer somebody, and we will have a reality show during which they are turned gay.
Huh. Yeah.
Right, that's the thing, because they claim that you can be turned gay, they claim that it's a thing that you can be indoctrinated, or you can be transformed from, you know, a right-thinking Christian straight person into a godless, heedless sodomite. And so they ought to just have a volunteer, to prove this point, and they can have him, you know, and he just goes and he can live with, like, Bryce and Tony, and Bryce and Tony, the San Francisco treats, And then over the course of, you know, 22 episodes or whatever, Bryce and Tony can do their very best to turn him gay. And then at the end, we can have some sort of a test, like they have on Biggest Loser. You come and you stand on a scale. But it's like, you know, they would, I don't know, he'd have to
go bedazzled
shopping. Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and then at the, we can
sing
just
some show tunes.
We can, and then he can, and like, plus on a daily basis, he can like go into the, he can do the little confession booth where he goes in at day 73 living with Bryce and Tony. And he can try to give us, you know, an overview exactly how gay he feels that he has become by that. He can chart it maybe like with like a stock market graph.
You'd really have to like, you know.
At the end, he has to totally, no, at the end, here's the thing. I'm sorry for working blue. At the end, he has to totally blow a guy.
Well, yeah.
Just to sort of prove it.
Yeah. But the thing is, you'd have to, like, everybody who wanted to be on the show, all the people auditioning would have to undergo rigorous psychological testing because you'd need to make absolutely sure that they were as straight as possible.
Sure.
Because I think that part of the problem with a lot of these people who get, like, so, you know, riled up about gay people.
Gay.
Is that sort of that fear.
Yeah.
So
I don't know that that's a fear. I think that's an awareness.
Well, it's an awareness, but I think it's also, you know, just sheer terror. And so, you know, because they know. They know deep down inside. So it would be really, really hard, I think, to find anybody that really was straight enough to
guy. BYU is like, as always, they're at the forefront of this technology and this sort of study. BYU, they've done this whole thing in the past. This is, by the way, what they call a checkable fact. BYU's done that whole thing where they wire up your junk and then they show you porn. Just see what it is you're responding to. And so like, they'll show you, like, I don't know, they'll show you a picture of, like, the brawny towel man, like, getting a rub down by two, you know, by two young Turkish boys. And then they'll just show you, like, a chick in a, you know, in a bikini, you know, getting what for from some guy. And so then they rate the tumescence of your member. So,
wow.
So they, you know, they're really that this has been, and which is not like BYU's alone. And I think Masters and Johnson and Kinsey all did that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you can tell like what a guy's into, okay. You know, or what a woman's into. So, yeah, you get somebody straight, you take them in the lab. They are proved demonstrably straight as demonstrated under rigorous scientific conditions. And then, bam, submerged into the world of the gay. And then you see exactly how long it takes them, you know, to turn gay if it happens. It's a win. Yeah. It's for every group involved in that show.
I like this.
I'd watch that.
I like this. Speaking, by the way, of BYU and gayness and stuff, there was another story that just came out. This fellow named Chase Thomas, he's a BYU student. He auditioned for So You Think You Can Dance. And the judges liked him quite a lot. He apparently dances very well, but he only wore like these tiny little tight short dance pants and nothing else. And so he was called in to for counseling for not enforcing the honor code for BYU. And they were saying that he isn't in trouble. He's not going to get cooked off. But he's also saying, you know, the BYU swim team poses for calendars. And they wear swimmer's briefs as part of their sport. And they don't get brought in for counseling. I'm a dancer. I'm wearing this as part of my dance costume.
Is he a Mormon or is he just attend BYU?
I believe he is Mormon.
All right. So yeah. I wonder if the issue was him. I wonder that he was perhaps not wearing his garments.
And also quite possibly gay.
Well, that would be your assessment. I, of course, couldn't say.
I'm just saying, dancer, tiny little pants. I had some audio, but we'll worry about that later.
Okay.
John Edwards reportedly had the chance to avoid felony charges and what is sure to be an embarrassing public trial by taking an 11th-hour plea bargain with federal prosecutors last week. The catch is that the former Democratic vice presidential nominee will have to serve 6 months in jail. The Raleigh News and Observer reported that the final deal offered by prosecutors would have had Edwards plead guilty to 3 misdemeanor campaign finance violations and serve the 6-month sentence. In exchange, the government would not have pressed felony charges, likely allowing Edwards to avoid disbarment and end his law career. Edwards' attorney, Greg Craig, insists his client is actually innocent.
Edwards
won.
Let's see. I'm trying to find where this went.
He has broken no law. And we will defend this case vigorously.
Edwards reportedly considered the deal right up to the final minutes before he was indicted on 6 charges, 4 counts of illegal campaign contributions, 1 of conspiracy, and 1 count of false statements. Those all stem from allegations that Edwards spent nearly $1 million provided by 2 campaign donors to help hide his affair with Riel Hunter, the former campaign videographer. Craig says his client will fight the charges and that this is an unprecedented case.
In the history of the federal election campaign law, no one has ever been charged, either civilly or criminally, with the claims that have been brought against Senator Edwards today.
Craig says that Edwards has not broken any law.
No one would have known or should have known or could have been expected to know that these payments would be treated or should be considered as campaign contributions.
I mean, it does sort of ring, I don't know, kind of weaselly that they're charging him with this. When you got, like, it, you know, if you're donating money to a guy's campaign, he's using it to get his hair cut. You know, that's debatable whether or not that's actually for, whether that's for campaign. It seems to me that when you donate money to a politician, you sort of just figure that they're using it at their discretion in whatever way that they deem important.
Well, and as we discovered, as we discussed earlier, like last week, if you're donating a whole lot of money to a guy's campaign, one of the things you'd kind of want him to spend money on is to hide the stuff that nobody should find out about.
The weird thing, though, is that he's claiming that's not the case. That's the bizarre thing about the Edwards case. He's claiming that it was not to further his political career, because that's the rub. That if he used it to further his political career, that's actually against the law. His claim was that it had nothing to do with his campaign. That he would have, if he was not running for president, if he wasn't running for any office at all, and he just came into a bunch of money, he would have used that money for exactly the same purpose. That it had nothing to do. In other words, that even if he was not running for president and somebody gave him this money, he would have used it simply to avoid public embarrassment. That it was separate from his political, which, you know, there is. It seems like he does have some precedent to say that, since, like, the idea that you can hump around and, you know, still be president isn't, like, unprecedented.
No.
So, I mean, so it does seem like it's a rational, it seems like it's a reasonable claim for him to say that, well, I had nothing to do with me running for president. Who cares if I'm humping around and I'm president? I mean, come on, look at this country. You know, that he was just using it for personal use only. So that's what his whole case sort of hinges upon. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Next hour we'll have a little bit of a Geek Watch going on, because the E3 is happening right now. I guess Microsoft has already, they've already wrapped up their portion of it, which is basically just a bunch of Kinect stuff, and then a Halo 4 announcement. So we also got Snuff Watch, Religious Nutcase Watch, and Mr. Aaron Duran with the Week in Geek. That is all coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com, where, by the way, we want to welcome, Audria. Well, whatever. A-U-D-R-I-A-A, I believe. Anyway, Sue has converted from being a monthly subscriber to being a yearly subscriber. So she's recently, she's made the obligation. She's made the commitment. She's jumped in with both feet. So Andre Hampshire, who just transitioned from being a monthly subscriber to being a yearly subscriber. And you can find out more at rickemersonshow.com. That comes up next hour after a brief musical interlude. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
A black bear, the police said was a threat to the public, was shot and killed Monday morning by Linwood, Washington officers after it ran through yards in a residential neighborhood. Sharon Sessions with Linwood Police said the 250-pound male bear was spotted Sunday night and chased by wildlife officials. She said the animal was loosely contained, and then Fish and Wildlife agents who had been at the scene went home, planning to return to the area at daylight to tranquilize it. But the bear, I guess being crafty, took off at dawn before anybody came back. The bear fled through yards, climbed fences, and ran across streets. It startled a man who was having coffee on his patio. A woman named Colleen Murray said, "He went through the yard right across the street, hopped over the fence like it was nothing, came down this sidewalk." The bear was within 10 feet of police when it was killed with shotgun blasts in the driveway of a home at Southwest 192nd and 68th Avenue Southwest in Linwood at 6:20 a.m. Sessions said officers had no choice but to kill the bear because it could have threatened children heading for school. The bear had been growling and charging at officers who had tried to contain it on Sunday night. Police are not equipped with tranquilizer guns, by the way, and a lot of people in Linwood are angry that the officers killed the bear.
I'm surprised that we're not equipped with, we don't equip officers with tranquilizer guns. Seems like that's a thing we get a lot of use of here in Portland.
Particularly, you know, in towns where there are bears.
Yeah, or, I mean, just, you know, just guys who just don't want to get out of the way. You know, the tasing doesn't really seem to work. It seems like the tranquilizing at least has some sort of demonstrable effect that actually performs as advertised. So, maybe we ought to have some sort of, that's, we ought to have just some, like, we ought to have, it'd be like one of those pens that writes in five colors depending on which button you press. We ought to just have, like, one catch-all, like, non-lethal, you know, it's like it either tases or it just, like, it just jams you full of tranquilizer, or it just shoots spiders at you, or it just, or it's like some sort of a long-distance glue gun.
Yeah, like silly string that just
exactly
wraps around you.
That's what I'm, or like that caulking stuff that they use. We ought to totally have that. That's, see, that's science that I'd be willing to fund as a taxpayer. That would be a righteous use of my money.
Four-time NBA champ Shaquille O'Neal made it official on Friday that he is retiring from the NBA after 19 years in the league. During a press conference at his home, the basketball star said he didn't think this day would come so soon.
Never thought this day would come, and Father Time has finally caught up with Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq thanked his parents, joked with the media, and explained he's going to pursue a PhD.
After 19 years, I'm announcing my retirement from professional basketball. It is now time for me to begin my new life.
I can tell you, actually, I watched that press conference. He did really, really well. Those press conferences sometimes can, they can sometimes be overly staged or just, just uninteresting or insincerely maudlin. But I mean, what I saw of, boy, and I know that I'm like, this is like the billionth time that people on Earth have said this. But it's that thing where he like walks in and then he does the press conference and he walks out again. And it's like, you just sit there and you just go, God damn, you're like the hugest guy who's ever lived. I mean, he's just, I knew somebody once who actually met him in real life. It was a guy who was like, I don't know, 6 feet tall or something. And I asked the dumb obligatory, like, so was he big? And he was like, he said there are just no words. He's like, there's just no way to explain to someone exactly how massive Shaquille O'Neal seems in person. And then like how minuscule you feel as a human being. He's like, you realize you were talking to a guy who literally he like could pick you up and just snap you over his leg. There's just no way to explain what it's like to be like. Like when they talked about Andre the Giant and how Andre the Giant, you could actually take like a full size, like egg, like a chicken egg, and put it through his wedding ring without touching the sides, which is just sort of the thing you can't wrap your brain around.
Yeah, there was an issue of Esquire back in the, I guess, the early 80s, whenever at the height of Magic Johnson's playing career, and they had a gatefold in Esquire. It was a two-page spread that was Magic Johnson's hand full size.
Jesus.
So you could put your hand up against his hand and go, oh, my Lord.
Realize what a tiny white woman you actually are.
Let's do entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Monday. Here at Legion of News at Cascadia.fm.
A 16 and pregnant star's 37-year-old mother was arrested in Rome, Georgia, Sunday morning for drug possession after allegedly being caught with meth and pot during a routine road check. April Michelle Purvis, the mother of Whitney Purvis, who appeared in the first season of 16 and Pregnant, was taken into custody in Floyd County after a canine unit search of her car. She is charged with felony possession of methamphetamines and misdemeanor possession of less than 1 ounce of marijuana. Victor Lamar Clement, 48, was also arrested. He's charged with misdemeanor possession of less than 1 ounce of marijuana. Neither party arrested admitted to whether the pot was theirs.
Okay.
Yeah. An accident shook up an anvil shooting championship in Farmington, Missouri. On Saturday, a contestant was seriously injured when gunpowder exploded early. Anvil shooting is lighting gunpowder under a 100-pound anvil and sending it flying. The hope is that it will come straight down. The crew from Mythbusters was there covering the event. Four of them had minor injuries
I don't understand. An anvil shooting contest.
Yeah, you put gunpowder underneath a 100-pound anvil and then light it and hopefully make it shoot straight up in the air and
that's
then come straight down.
Fantastic. I mean, it seems like it's going to end badly for everybody, but still, it's fantastic.
Rihanna's latest music video for her song Man Down is stirring up controversy. The Public Policy for Parent Television Council is calling the video an inexcusable, shock-only shoot-and-kill theme song that should not be shown on TV.
It's awesome. She totally shoots a guy.
Oh. The video, which aired on BET, depicts Rihanna as the victim of a possible sexual assault, who then shoots a man in the head.
It's fantastic.
Council Director Don Isett said the video shouldn't have been aired.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wow, hold on. Jesus, it's like the day of the low-volume soundbites.
The cold-blooded murder, no matter what the circumstances may or may not be, is not something that needs to be encouraged or in any way represented. And unfortunately, BET is responsible here for airing that material.
As I said, the video depicts too much violence.
Let's be really clear here. There's nothing funny about sexual assault. It's a horrible and tragic thing every single time it happens. That being said, cold-blooded murder is also equally tragic and unfortunate and doesn't need to happen.
Well, now I have to revise all my jokes for next hour.
Some folks need killing.
I thought sexual assaults and cold-blooded killing were hilarious.
That's half of our material right there.
It's like I transposed. Yeah, I think I'm in the memo I must have just written now instead of not.
Singer Debbie Nova is suing Jeremy Davies, one of my favorite actors from Justified and Lost, claiming the actor could have prevented a mishap which left her with numerous internal and external injuries. Nova alleges that a faulty shower door shattered, injuring her right thumb, which eventually required surgery. The singer says that Davies, who was her landlord of the California property, should have known of the faulty shower door, and she's accusing him of negligence. And something that will surprise no one, Whitney Houston has decided to spend additional time in rehab.
Excellent.
After completing her 30-day program last week, TMZ reports that Houston is being aided in her substance abuse battle with a life coach, and rumors the celebrity is attempting to get sober to prepare for the upcoming production for the Waiting to Exhale sequel, which is called Getting to Happy. Country star Teresa Atkins lost his Brentwood, Tennessee home to a fire on Saturday afternoon. Atkins' wife were out of town during the fire, and no one was injured from the blaze. Atkins' wife, Rhonda, told the Tennessean newspaper, "I'm just numb. I'm sad because we lost irreplaceable things like all Teresa's awards and our family photos, but you can replace things, not people. I'm just glad my children are safe."
By the way, doesn't it seem inevitable to you that Whitney Houston will do some sort of a, that she'll do some sort of a Bodyguard sequel?
Oh,
I mean,
doesn't
it seem like that's an idea that's just waiting behind glass, and they're just trying to find, like, the, you know, like when she reaches her absolute nadir.
See,
when
you said that out loud, and now you've given it substance.
Because I just assume that they're, I figure that is a thing that is already written. They've probably already got, like, a footage shot, and they're just sitting on it, and they're either going to wait until she absolutely, like, has no additional money to pay anyone, and then they'll do it, or they'll wait until she's dead. You know, like the minute she's, you know, vomited out, they'll, you know.
Yeah, and it'll be a new woman needing a new woman singer who needs a bodyguard, and she'll be played by, I don't know, somebody who like wins American Idol or something, and Whitney Houston will play her original character,
yes,
who's like her mentor and just only has like three scenes.
Well, she'll be she will be to this film as Bud Fox is to Wall Street 2, Money Never Sleeps. Which is awful, by the way, just in case anybody's
yes.
wondering.
Oh, no, it is. Yeah. Last night was the MTV Movie Awards, and the big winner was, of course, Twilight. It took home 5 awards, including Best Movie, Best Female Performance, and Best Male Performance. Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson also won for Best Kiss and Best Fight. That was Robert Pattinson versus Bryce Dallas Howard and Xavier Samuel in Eclipse. There were also awards for Best Comedic Performance went to Emma Stone in Easy A. Best Line from a Movie winner was, "I want to get chocolate wasted." Somebody said that in Grown Ups, which is, talk about awful. Man, that's a bad movie. Best Breakout Star winner was Chloe Grace Moretz of Kick-Ass. And Biggest Badass Star winner was Chloe Grace Moretz of Kick-Ass. So, and... yeah, and the best villain was Tom Felton from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Let's make a vow now to never read stories about the MTV Movie Awards again.
I don't...
Just eschew that in the future.
Does anyone actually watch this anymore?
No.
Ever? No.
All right. Okay. And... Excellent. That's a good one. With that, we end this episode of Legion of News, coming to you live from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kennecoa. The Rick Emerson Show is next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Today we have a Snuff Watch, Religious Nutcase Watch, and Geek Watch news from E3, as well as The Week in Geek with Mr. Aaron Duran. So, thank you for listening. Don't forget you can get this program later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. We'll see you again tomorrow, Tuesday at noon. Have a safe and satisfying Monday, won't you?